Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio. I'm your host, J. Richard Jones, and it's a pleasure to be with you today. We're going to talk a little bit about the promise of trust as a catalyst for transformation. And we have two very special guests joining us today that I'd like to welcome to the show. Chris Pogue, CEO of Talus Canada, and Jeff Spencer, CEO of Atreides. Gentlemen, welcome to the show.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for having me, John.
Pleasure. So I'm going to set this up a little bit. It's been 5 years since the Government of Canada awarded Talus the AEGIS contract. And part of that contract includes in-service support, refit, repair, maintenance, and training for the Royal Canadian Navy's new Arctic and offshore patrol ships and joint support ships. And this is just probably one of the largest contracts in Canadian history for ISS. But in the meantime, there's the challenge of digital transformation. It's just growing in leaps and bounds. So today, we're going to explore the relationships between technology. We're going to talk about workflow. We're going to talk about new partnerships and how it all comes into helping to create better collaboration between the primes and the SMBs. So to begin, I think the first place to kind of go is, why don't we start with you, Chris? It's been 5 years since this contract was awarded. What's changed?
Well, I think if we go back a bit and imagine the purpose behind the AEGIS contract, obviously to support the Arctic Offshore Patrol Vessel and the joint supply ships with in-service support, as you characterized, there was a vision, I think, put in place to establish a long-term, potentially 35-year contract that would give the flexibility to ensure that as the fleet went to sea, it was going to be supported and supportable for its lifespan. And the idea of that scale of a contract was also driven by the idea that we won't shape a contract driven by specific requirements or specific things that must be delivered on a specific date. No, we'll imagine a performance-based contract driven by two key concepts. One, ship availability, and the cost of ensuring the ships are available and at sea. And incentives are built into these kinds of programs that ensure everybody benefits by delivering on both performance, ships at sea, and lower cost to ensure the ships stay at sea. It essentially becomes a platform for innovation. It also is coupled with the concept of relational contracting, which is really the idea of getting away from these specific requirements and building a purpose-built team between government, defense, and the industry and all the industry partners. And I think, I was more than 20 years, John, in the Canadian military and the Air Force, and had the pleasure of being involved in some procurement reform ideas while I was there. And I think this idea of a relational contract, when we learn how to do it and do it well, really creates the potential to probably have the most dramatic impact on the way defense procures systems and ensures that they stay ready and able to service the men and women who serve. I really think it's an innovation platform, it's a different way of contracting, and it's a different way of delivering capability. 5 years in, we've developed some of the infrastructure to support the ships. The ships are now at sea, two ships at sea and a third about to go to sea. And as that happens, as more ships are added, you'll see more and more innovation and more capability under this contract.
So quite a bit has changed. Now, the other thing that's new is this relationship between Talus and Atreides. Jeff, can you tell us a little more about how that came about between the two of you?
Yeah, things kicked off around June 2021, and when it did, we got together early with Alex Murray and shortly thereafter Francois, who's a digital champion for Talus, and quickly started discussing some of the areas of opportunity within the AEGIS program. And really where we honed down was the cost and value of time and where that was getting sucked up based off of old legacy software, and as well applications of Microsoft Excel that weren't able to keep everyone on the same page as fast as TELUS wanted to see it. And so what we were able to do is first identify an area of need, but what we said is, we said, look, we've never worked together before. And at Atreides, we're huge into earning trust. And we said that to TELUS. We said, if we do anything together, we want to earn your trust before we do any kind of contractual work. And so what we wanted to do was two things. One, show that we could do the work. And two, show that we understood what outcomes were needed. And so what we elected to do was provide TELUS a proof of concept of the proof of concept. And so what we did is we got together, we zeroed in on some of the key issues, and very quickly, within a week and a half, we turned around resulting software that was able to demonstrate where TELUS wanted to migrate to. And from there, we earned our trust, and TELUS extended us an R&D contract. And this was TELUS's bet on Atreides that we could provide something that would provide rollout value to the rest of Aegis. And from there, we used a couple different mechanisms to further grab consensus across the TELUS workforce and use that as our product requirements for building the penultimate software, which we delivered together with the TELUS team.
Now, you guys are a software platform, and you're dealing in actionable data. Like, it's all about helping to deal with the intelligence of management. What was the experience like for TELUS? And was this a new approach?
I think it's not so much a new approach, but maybe I want to pick up on a couple of Jeff's themes that I think are really important. Within TELUS, we've been sort of developing Jeff meets with Alex Murray and Francois Rieu, our digital champion. It's kind of a serendipity moment where they bump into each other at an event. And so we've been working hard to kind of create structural ways in which those things can happen more regularly, so they're not relying on a moment of uniqueness. And so we'd invested significantly in a thing called AI at Centec out of Montreal with Scale AI that has so far touched over 450 startup-like companies around the world, not all solely in Canada. And so we knew from that experience that touching these startups was really helping you see innovation through a lens that you wouldn't necessarily see within the broader TELUS organization. And some of those innovations are because those companies absolutely thrive. They stay alive by being highly innovative and focused on a unique customer problem, just as Atreides is. The other piece then that we moved towards was a concept called synergy, which is really trying to address how TELUS engages with small and medium-sized businesses across Canada specifically. And these are the businesses that are maybe past the startup phase, so where Atreides is developing, you know, viable products that can get in the hands of customers. And so synergy allows us to now sort of reach a different part of the market. And small and medium-sized businesses in Canada typically are challenged by sort of chasing one funding mechanism after the next. All good ideas, all helpful things to help them move forward, but how could we kind of close that chasm? And so when we meet with a company like Atreides that's working on something that unique, and our team sees how the Navy, the end user problem can be addressed by it, it's a logical place to merge. And that allows us, I think, to move much more quickly, to get things in the hands of the Navy much faster and more effectively. And at the end of the day, that's how innovation actually happens. Now, some of these things like AI at Centec and Synergy are structures to help us enable it more. I'll call them innovation infrastructure, if you like.
So as you were going through kind of the process, collaboration is always, it's two new parties meeting and earning trust, as Jeff was saying. Were there any lessons learned going through that you can take away and apply with some of your other relationships?
There's tons. I think I'll let Jeff give his view of what, like, I've asked others, groups who've come through Synergy, I always ask, what was it about our interaction with you that allowed you to trust us? Because some of those companies are worried about working with a large company, what's going to happen to them? And I think we'll come back to that topic. But Jeff, maybe tell me, how's it been for you?
Yeah, you know, when working with, you know, customers, and it doesn't matter who you are, you know, when you approach a customer, you want to approach it with a sustainable long-term relationship mindset. And there's all kinds of different signals that you pick up on how the customer is approaching it and with that mindset. And right out of the gates, Talos was signaling very strong that relationships mattered tremendously to them, that long-term and, you know, long-term trust was something that they were looking to build up. And we got that loud and clear from the day when we started talking about what is this software going to do? And they said, hey, we're going to frame the initial product requirements for this with Alex and Francois. And then they said, but guess what? We're going to take these requirements and we're going to send them to the entire Aegis department heads. And so we went around and spoke to, it was 9 to 10 different individuals who all have their specialty across Aegis. And we applied what was called a consensus Delphi Oracle model. And what that meant was we asked them all the same 8 questions based off the initial product requirements. And we got them to all feedback on what they thought about the product requirements and what was needed. And everyone said something different because everyone has a different specialty. But there was a lot of common thread. And we took that common thread and we brought it all together. And then we said, hey, we went back to the same group and we said, this is what your peers think. And this is what your initial answer was on what the product requirements need to be for this initial development. And is this what you would you agree with your peers? Do you want to change your answer ever so slightly? And what happened is everyone's answers came closer together, closer to the average. And what I saw and the leadership from Talos that really impressed me was group buy-in. And so now you've got this entire group across Aegis responsible for all kinds of different, you know, departments saying, if we only do one thing, this is what we need. Well, from my standpoint, what do I see? I see team buy-in across the platform program, which is going to be the innovation vehicle if we're successful in this to actually carry it forward. And I know that the whole team has consensus bought into it. So that helps on the long-term buy-in on what we're going to do next and then the time after and the time after. So to me, you know, in the Atreides team, we were hook, line, and sinker. That was the establishment of trust, knowing that all the personalities at play that made up, you know, the Talos think tank of Aegis were signaling this is what needs to happen. What more could we ask for?
You know, it really does keep coming back to trust. What I like, though, is you kind of did a measure twice and cut once approach. You were involved with both teams as you went through. Now, am I correct in assuming that you did a self-funded proof of concept for this?
No. So I'll walk through the major milestones. We did, for the first, call it, 30 days, we did a lot of learning with Alex and Francois. At the resulting end of that, we built a, about a week and a half long POC of the POC, proof of concept of the proof of concept. And then with that, that was a signal to Talos to say, we want you guys to get deeper in our organization. And we have R&D dollars specifically to carry this from, you know, the trust that you extended at the start of this to carry it on for another, you know, few months. And then at the end of that R&D, then we tied it into the Aegis vehicle to further carry this into the, you know, the longer term. So it went from, you know, 60 days to 3 months to 1 year.
And then all along the way, leveraging the experience from Talos and the input to help further craft what you were doing?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a great example, right, of how, you know, for a smaller company focused on a particular problem, they developed trust in us because we demonstrated trust in them. And I think that's you can't ask for it any better than that. Another interesting, I guess, artifact of the success of this story is the the designers of the Aegis contract, not only were they thinking about a relational contract and performance-based and long-term, where innovation can certainly surface, they also created a mechanism called a value engineering ECP that is structured in the contract to allow you to bring innovation like what Atreides was doing into the program. And they welcomed it into the program. Obviously, the contact with the end user was crucial. So lots of good thinking more than 5 years ago in establishing that Aegis contract that I think is leading to the innovation platform we talked about, the potential to bring new capability in, and for Canadian companies like Atreides, an opportunity to really test drive their ideas, demonstrate that they work, and get them in the hands of the Navy. To me, that's kind of the perfect merging of collaboration and innovation and delivering capability to the warfighter that's going to make a difference in the way they operate.
So incumbents and primes like Thales benefit, and really smart SMBs like Atreides benefit. Chris, maybe you can comment on the benefits for customers in Canada.
Well, I think for the customers in Canada, and particularly the defense customer, because that's really what we're focused on in the discussion, one of the challenges defense has always faced is long-term procurements that potentially end up with sort of almost planned obsolescence in the procurement. So contracts like Aegis give them the mechanism to bring innovation in. You know, the pace of innovative change is much, much faster than the duration of a typical procurement. You're going to have multiple cycles. So how do we ensure that the people who serve our nation, who we have the honor to serve by virtue of our industries we've chosen to be in, how do we ensure that they get the right equipment so they can carry out the mission safely, effectively, and return home to their families? Well, contracts like Aegis and relationships with SMBs, highly innovative SMBs like Atreides, and companies like Thales that foster that relationship, benefit from it for sure, deliver that capability to that warfighter. And at the end of the day, that's our singular purpose. All of us are focused on that. And to me, that's the strength of how these relationships actually work.
So the trust involved and the technology are basically accelerating collaborative innovation and performance outcomes. And I think we really do need this to help kind of shape the defense procurement process. And, you know, as I was looking at some of the information on the profiles here, you know, you talk about technology, everybody gets really excited about the shiny new technology that's come in. And I've heard people say, you know, in the past, when it comes to technology, the margins are in the mystery. But there's some very basic process here that needs to be improved in workflow. And it sounds like this collaboration has really worked out well.
Well, I think innovation is multifaceted. Certainly for Atreides, they're bringing unique innovation in how they're thinking about solving the problem, and obviously the innovation in developing the software platform. But innovation is also business models. It's also how you structure yourself. Synergy being an example of an innovative business model. That's really, there's no technology in there at all, or very little. It's an innovative way of operating together. And when I think of your previous question and the challenge, I mean, I think of Commander Vesey, who really leads the Navy's sort of, one of the Navy's many innovation agendas. And he has sort of a drive to take advantage of this recapitalization period for the Navy. He says it's the largest since World War II. I don't know. I have to trust him. And sort of future-proofing the Navy. And Commander Vesey is looking at how, you know, how can I bring, you know, new capability to the Navy more effectively? Well, certainly something like Aegis, value ECPs, synergy and relationships with SMBs, it sure feels like a way to deliver on his vision of what he wants to achieve. So I think there's lots more for us in the future along these paths. I know, Jeff, you know the commander as well. Maybe you have an additional perspective.
Yeah, you know, I mean, kind of specifically, you know, Commander Vesey has these, you know, 25, you know, change agendas that he wants to hit on. And, you know, specifically what we're doing right now and working on is really around the digital, you know, enablers, including, you know, data pipelines, real-time analytics, you know, smart, sustainable, you know, including predictive maintenance, modernizing approvals, which is a really, really big one. You know, taking that stuff outside of Excel and into real-time auditable compliance-based software. And then you can also tie it into, you know, fleet maintenance or fleet optimization, which is, you know, one of his 25 as well. And, you know, I like, you know, how Chris kind of frames this. You know, it's not just what Talos and you know, Atreides are doing here, right? I mean, like, you start to look up and you see this like path of like innovation that's been laid out for us that we were welcome in to take advantage of. So, I mean, it starts with things like the ITBs, which is an incredible concept, really powerful vehicle. And then you have someone like, you know, and Commander Vesu comes around with his, you know, 25 areas of innovation, you know, kind of change management, leveraging that framework, that vehicle, you know, he puts down his own innovation, you know, framework. And then it takes a Talos to come in and interpret both of those and say, well, wait a second, you know, if we're going to bring real innovation to Aegis with what's been laid out, can we take advantage of these, you know, of these innovation policies that have been put together? And that's where I'm really, you know, from an Atreides standpoint, you know, down to the, you know, the last, you know, step there, our job is to recognize everything that's happening and understand, you know, what's incumbent on us to fit into this whole framework to succeed. And there's really important things that we have to go in eyeballs wide open, right? I mean, like, you know, to be successful on this, we can't just make software. We've got to make it, and we've got to make it on and build to deploy it to, you know, the Aegis Azure accredited, you know, environment. And so there's a lot of things that, you know, if you're going to be an agent of change and innovation, you recognize what's being put down in front of you and understand what your requirements are to be a part of that. It's not one person's job. And so it's been, you know, it's been great watching everyone kind of recognize their role and lay that out and seeing how you fit into it.
I think this discussion really highlights the value of trust and collaboration. I'd be curious to just kind of round table a little bit, but fast forward 5 years from now, what do you think we'll be talking about then?
I will offer, John, that I hope, you know, we have more ships at sea through Aegis and they're operating under a performance-based contract. We're seeing dramatic innovations being brought to the ship in all facets, from AI embedded in the way they make decisions to new systems like LiDAR systems on board the ship for remote sensing, a range of things that ensure that our ships don't face that obsolescence challenge ahead and that they can maintain their operational effectiveness. And I think we will see programs like the Aegis contract. I hope we see more of them in other ways. And while I would love Talos to be involved in all of them, they may not be, but it doesn't matter. That contract structure is so important because it leads to, yet demands trust. And so, you know, if I can offer just a few thoughts, I think, around the theme of trust that's so crucial. We started with Aegis and where it is 5 years and where it can be 5 years from now, and certainly 30 years from now if we keep going, is the idea that a few things really struck me in the process of working with the treaties, but also with other small, medium-sized business through the Synergy program. And that was really that there's a few sort of North Stars that have to guide these relationships. And one is, I think, assume good intent by all. Like, assume everyone has the right intent, right? Number two would be to evolve kind of a mindset, an infinite mindset of possibility and long-term sustainable relationships, which I think Jeff spoke to well. To invest energy in the small things. I was commenting on what Jeff had commented earlier, but I've seen it from other SMB, small, medium-sized business we work with, is they talk about the little things that made them trust us. We returned phone calls. We answered emails. We showed up at meetings and we shared information. And, you know, it's not some massive big moment of trust. It's those little things that you do every day that makes a difference. And fourth, have a shared purpose. Write it down, post it on the wall, remind yourself it all the time about it, because that shared purpose is your North Star. It's the compass point that you're all working towards. Within the Talos vision we have of ourselves, we say committed to collaboration and building a future we can all trust. And I think the relationship with the treaties hits both of those.
Yeah. And, you know, I look at it, you know, John, you know, scaling off those best principles that you know, Chris laid out on a, you know, just keep getting bigger kind of scale. You know, we started off doing a POC of a POC, which led to R&D, you know, that Talos puts aside, which led to the innovative, you know, framework that Aegis is. And if we take those same principles that Chris laid out and we apply them now to being successful on the Aegis framework, I wholeheartedly agree with Chris, then that can become a lift and an adoption across other classes of ships. And that's what we're trying to do, right? I mean, like, you know, where we're at now, it's not about just Talos. That's not the stakeholder, right? I mean, there is multiple stakeholders involved in the software we're trying to deliver. And if we can show all those stakeholders coming together in real-time decision-making, you know, capability, which leads to predictive maintenance decisions, well, why wouldn't the other class of ships want that in other countries, in non-defense applications? You know, and so I think, you know, we're always looking to create a best practice model, as Chris laid out. And when we have it, keep what's good and then see where else it's a fit.
Well, it certainly sounds like this has been a great collaboration, and it really does highlight the need for trust and how it can be a catalyst in transformation. And it's going to help to basically be where the puck is going to be 5 years down the road. You know, that's kind of how I see it.
Great analogy during the Stanley Cup season.
Yeah, that's true. But you've been listening to Vanguard Radio, and we've been talking about Aegis. We've been talking about digital technology. We've been talking about trust. We've been talking about the foundations and principles of good business relationships and good planning and the outcomes of success. Our two guests today have been Chris Pogue, CEO Talos Canada, and Jeff Spencer, CEO of Atreides. I want to thank you both for joining the show. It's been really interesting.
Thank you. Thanks, Jeff.
The views, information, or opinions expressed during the Vanguard Weekly Podcast Series, CGE Weekly Podcast Series, Vanguard Radio Podcast, and CGE Radio Podcast are solely those of the individuals involved and do not represent those of Vanguard or any affiliated media products, their employees, or owners. Vanguard Magazine, Canadian Government Executive Magazine, and its affiliates are not responsible for and do not verify for accuracy any of the information contained in this podcast series. This podcast may not be copied or distributed without express written approval of Promotive Communications, Inc., PCI. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast without consent from PCI. PCI assumes no liability for activities in connection with this podcast or for use of this podcast with any other website, computer, or playing device.